Welcome back to the EuroLeague Fantasy Challenge podcast. This week is another special edition, another special episode, because Javi, what time is it?
What time is it? Oh, it's that's one thing I want to say. Well, it's 12:30 on a Sunday, and this man is a hero, man. You have to understand this, that he has three kids. He's home alone for the first time probably in weeks, and he's doing the fantasy podcast with me. I mean, how cool is that? All for you guys.
Oh, well, I was going for you to say it's playoff time.
Oh, let's begin.
This is the EuroLeague Fantasy Challenge podcast with Javi Gancedo and Frankie Sachs.
Welcome to the latest edition of the EuroLeague Fantasy Challenge podcast, and it's a pretty special time. Javi, tell the people what time it is.
It's playoff time. I told people that it was 12:30 in the morning on a Sunday before we had to cut it out. And it's true that Frankie has three kids and it's home alone today. And he opted to do the podcast instead of, having some little bit of me time. So thank you for that. I mean, I know you do it for the guys, not for me.
We all love the podcast. I love doing the podcast with you.
All right. That's good. And it's playoff time. Let's focus on that. Only eight teams remaining. Of course, a limited trades in the yearly fantasy challenge. I'd love to talk about different strategies. We were talking before we started recording about the centers. I think this week is almost mandatory to have one center per turn, but you're going the other way, right?
I'm going exactly the way. I don't know that there's one center that I feel is out there who I feel is, you know, a go-to, gotta have, gonna guaranteed give you point center. But I think you can, the way the game is set up, you can just choose two centers. I chose two who are playing turn one. Josh Nebo, I've had for at least a month, if not longer. Matt Costello, who's in great form. They're both turn one. And at the end of the night, I just drop one of them, you know, whoever's the lowest score. If they both have great scores, I can both just play with a two-center lineup. And you can change your lineup. After Tuesday night's games, you can adjust to a three-forward lineup or a three-guard lineup with just one center, or 2-2-1, whatever you want. So that's what I'm doing. But I know you're going the opposite way with a center on each night.
Yeah, exactly. I'm getting Costello. I would get Tavares, but I'm short of money, and I kind of reach to everything I want. But Costello has played really well against Real Madrid in recent, not recent games, but recent years. He's been playing well against them consistently. He actually invented this way of outrunning Tavares to get advantages, and also using what everybody does, which is take him outside to take the three-point shot. He's kind of like the complete package against Tavares, so I expect good things of him. And I'm getting Vesely. I like Jean Vesely. I think his mid-range jumpers, his effectiveness, his experience is going to be very valuable against Milutinov and Bright and Mustafa Fall. Olympiacos is deeper at center, and I expect Hernan Gomez and Vesely to step up. So since Vesely is more experienced, I'm going with Jan. So that's it.
Well, let's look at each series and see what we have, and talk about the matchups and who the players are that we feel you should have, and the players who you might want to stay away from.
All right, let's begin chronologically. What's the first game? Panathinaikos Maccabi, right?
The playoffs begin in Athens. That's right.
All right. I like Kendrick Nunn. He's been playing really well lately. Actually, both Panathinaikos guards, I think they're good options, Kendrick Nunn and Kostas Lucas. But I like Nunn because, I don't know, he has never played the yearly playoffs. He'll be willing to prove himself. And that's why I'm going with Nunn. I signed Dinos Mitoglou, but that's more of, let's say that I don't trust the other forwards. So I'm going with Mitoglou. No reason. I think he will be one of the few forwards that will play well. How about Maccabi? What do you think?
Well, Lorenzo Brown was the MVP of the play-in, and everything he said afterwards, whether it was to on EuroLeague TV or even to Maccabi's internal media afterwards, he spoke about feeling healthy and his back, his hip, feeling the best it's felt in months. I'd been down on Lorenzo Brown recently, not because I have a problem with Lorenzo Brown, but because he's been hurt, and half of Lorenzo Brown is not the same as the full Lorenzo Brown. But if he's back, as he played the other night and said he feels great, well, he was an all-EuroLeague first-team player last year, and he's 11.3 credits. So I think not only is he someone worth worth taking, because I think if he's truly healthy, he's a lot more valuable than his price. But he could also make a lot of players around him better.
Mm-hmm. What about Bowen? Is it okay to keep him given Lorenzo's rise, or should we stay away from him at least in game one?
Look, Baldwin's expensive, so the it comes down to money and where do you want to spend that money. But I don't think that there's a bust alert around him at all. In fact, look at what they did in this last game against Baskonia. And Brown had a huge game, but Baldwin's right behind him, both in terms of scoring and PIR. And I think that he will be highly motivated for this series. I think we may be seeing a bit of a rivalry between Nunn and Baldwin, but just in general, Baldwin wants to get to a Final Four. He is not currently on my team just because of the price, and I only wanted to have one very highly priced guard, and I decided to go with Mike James. But if you have the money or if it works out there, I would not stay away from Baldwin. I just don't think he's a must own.
Yeah, about players, cheap players, I would go. I think there's one candidate that I would go to. I'm not signing him because I have even less money than the same 7.9 credits that he is worth it. But Juancho Hernan Gomez, he has a reputation for stepping up, especially with the Spanish national team in big games. And I expect a good series from him. I think he has the range and the versatility to go at the power forward position, to try to attack Colson at the three also. I like his chances against Maccabi.
So my only reservation there is not the price and not the talent, but the minutes. Coach Ataman has played six guys very heavily. His starters are all among the leaders in the league. Kostas Lucas also, you know, up there in terms of sixth men. And Hernan Gomez has not played big minutes this year. So if he's not going to, I don't know, unless there's foul trouble and injury, I expect that Ataman will probably lean heavily on his go-to guys. So that's why his price is low, and I don't know if I would go there. But of course, if something happens, and that's how you win sometimes in the Fantasy Challenge, you guess right on an injury, get lucky, or foul trouble, and someone's all of a sudden praying for a little. He's a guy at that price who could make a big difference, and because it's a turn one game, you have nothing to lose by throwing him out there.
Yeah, and the player to avoid would be all backup centers in general, from Rivero to Sorkin to Antetokounmpo to Walcherowski. We are all waiting for the matchup between Lesort and Nivo, and I expect it to be very good. And I expect both players to play at least 28, 29 minutes. So I don't think there's going to be room for the others to shine, even when Rivero is playing really well lately. But I just don't see it.
No, I totally agree. I think the Brown being now suddenly a scoring weapon coming into the series feeling great and not just a passer or someone to bring up the ball, but someone who's a legitimate scoring threat. That if you've got eyes on him, all of a sudden that alley-oop threat to Nebo is incredible. And I think that makes Nebo much more valuable, on top of Nebo leading the league in offensive rebounds and getting, you know, the second chance points and all that, which is incredibly valuable in the Fantasy Challenge. So yeah, I'm excited, and I have both Brown and Nebo in my lineup.
Well, before we move on to Madrid and Baskonia, it's a no-brainer. The thing is that right now you have four guards, four forwards, two centers. You can, let's say, discard one guard and one forward, go for a cheap one, you still have three good ones. But with centers, you have two. And you better have two good ones, otherwise you're going to be having trouble, especially if the most expensive one plays on Thursday and you have a cheap backup on Friday. So,
or in this case, Tuesday and Wednesday.
Spend on the centers. That's my advice. Go for them. All right. Well, Madrid-Baskonia. I truly believe that Madrid is a heavy favorite in game one because of the circumstances. Baskonia has played a lot of games. Madrid has been waiting for weeks for this game. Plus, Chima Moneke may or may not play. He looked okay the other day. He didn't play, but he was walking already without crutches. So one could hope that he will play, but still, Madrid, they lost to Baskonia, and I don't see how they can lose again, at least in game one. I think it's going to be... That's why I would recommend people who can afford it to go with Chus Mateo as head coach, and there's a number of players that you can get from Madrid that could actually do very well. I like Tavares, like I said. I like Campazzo. I don't know. It's and then... I'm sure that between Musa, Hesonja, and Dek, there's one of these three players are going to play well. I'm leaning towards Musa, but anything could happen, really. What do you think?
What about Yabusele?
Yabusele, good choice. Because if it's a no-brainer. Sometimes the most simple thought is a good one. If Monek is not going to be okay, Baskonia has a problem at power forward, who's Madrid power forward? Yabusele. Yeah. It could be
if it looks like Moneke is going to play, I may have to change everything. But right now, I'm going the assumption he's not going to play, which for me means Sedekerskis is starting. It also means Rayeste is going to be my cheap discarded player because he played 10 minutes in the last game. He's 4.1 credits. Why not? Right? He had a PIR of 6 for that price. He's going to see time if there's no Moneke. And my concern all season with a lot of Real Madrid players is when a team is that deep and that good, and they're not coached by Ataman, they're not giving tons of minutes all the time to the same guys, then it's a risk. You never know who's going to have the big night and who's going to suddenly just play 15 minutes because the team doesn't need him. So I've been reluctant, but I'm going with Yabusele. I think that he's played well against Baskonia so far this year. I think after the events of last season, he wants to shine on the bright stage this year. So he is currently my sixth man.
I like the way you put it, the events last season. Nice. Well, about cheap players, there's a good number of them. Rayeste is a good choice, but under 5 credits, we have 3 really experienced players in Alberto Avalde, Fabián Coser, and Rudy Fernández. It's play of time, and usually Coser saves his best for last. So if I had to pick one cheap player from this team would be Coser. Also, I like Rokkavapoulos. If Monek is not going to play, Rokkavapoulos will play more, the 3 and the 4. So that could be a steal. He played really, really well on Friday. So I don't know. Let's see if Monek plays or not. But if he doesn't, Rokkavapoulos could be a steal at least in game one.
Yeah, but like I said before, keep your eyes on all reports about Moneke because his presence or lack thereof will have a huge impact on game one and the entire series.
And the player to avoid, I would say Mike Kotsar, just because he's an old school guy. He can run the floor better than most, and that's good against Tavares. But I think at some point, take into account that Tavares and Poirier are first and second in blocks this season. And the blocks are -2 in fantasy. So, I would stay away from Kotsar. Actually, I'm only keeping Costello because he's been on fire. Right now, he's a player to have. But generally speaking, I wouldn't use centers against Madrid, but Costello is going to be the exception.
And how do you feel about Marcus Howard?
That's an interesting one. Does Madrid have a player good enough on defense to... Well, shut down Howard? I would say yes, of course. To begin with, Campaz is an excellent defender. But I don't know. It's complicated, really.
Marcus Howard in fantasy is a conundrum because he will get a lot of shots and he will score a lot of points. But on some games, he'll be efficient and that will be an incredible value in fantasy. And some games, he will not be shooting so well and he's not going to add much else. And all of a sudden, you have somebody who you're paying. I think he's 10 and a half credits, but is that the best way to spend those 10 and a half credits is the question.
I think he's going to, Madrid is going to throw much taller defenders to him, Avalde and Deck especially. So that's what I expect from coach Chus Mateo. So we'll see. Anyway, moving on to the second turn, Monaco Fenerbahce. Hard to predict, right? What do you think?
The game itself, I think, is hard to predict, but without having gone back and completely watched their previous two games, just looking quickly at the box score this morning, I saw that Mike James had 2 strong games against them, Elio Kobo had 2 solid games against them, and they are both starting this week on my bench as players who could just step in for whoever has a weak night. I fully expect James to come in and perhaps be my captain, depending on what happens on Tuesday night.
Yeah, well, James, I think is a no-brainer this week. I think everybody should have him. Speaking on Fenerbahce, the obvious choice is Hayes Davis, but I don't like his matchup. Depends on if he's going to play 3 or 4. against he's gonna go against John Brown, who's an excellent defender, and at the three position he could have a little bit of advantage against Diallo. But again, Diallo is a really strong, really hard defender, so hard to say, hard to say. I don't know if it would be a good week to stay away from Hayes Davis, see what happens in game one, and maybe go for one of the shooters, for Dorsey, or for especially Wilbekin, who I think is going to be play really well. But all along, I'm staying away from Fenerbahce in general, because I just cannot figure out. I've been trying to play the game in my head, and I just don't see which player can have an advantage other than maybe Motley. But Motley is right now is too expensive for what I want to do, because I really want to have Vesely. So hard one, really. I really don't know what to do.
Yeah, I hear you. I will say that in the beginning of in the preseason, I spent some time with Monaco, and I did a story with my man John Brown. And when he was talking about the great defenders in the league and the guys who he thinks should be candidates aside from himself for the best defender, he singled out Alpha Diallo. So it almost doesn't matter if they're both out there. It's the Fenerbahce forwards are going to have a difficult time. So yeah, I agree. Stay away from Hayes Davis at least in game one. See how it goes, then you can adjust. But I like those Monaco defenders, and yeah, I've got James Nakobo. I don't know that there's anybody else in the Monaco front line who I think is going to be particularly fantasy worthy right now.
There's one issue, that is that the both centers, Montiel and Dante Hall, are kind of cheap, considering the circumstances. So, I mean, I'm sure one of them is going to play well. I would lean towards Montiel over Hall. Montiel is 9.4 credits. Dante Hall is 8.8. It's like I said, it's tricky. It's going to depend on matchups. I see Motiejunas having advantage against Sanli, against not so much against Papagiannis, not so much against Motley, and Hall is a physical player who can, in a good day, well, sink five alley-oop dunks and get a PER of 25 like that. So, like I said, I would go easy on this game. I would just wait and see how it goes, keep an eye on it, and maybe take players from other than Mike James, who is a lock. I would try to stay away from this game in general.
I agree. I completely agree. And that brings us to the final game, Barcelona against Olympiacos.
Oh, that's after. Well, they finished the regular season with the same record, right? But Barça beat Olympiacos twice, hitting a lot of threes, and that makes the Barça's 3-point shooters very appealing. I like La Provitola and I like Abrines this week. So we'll have to see how it goes. But at least I'm buying Lapro for sure. I'm thinking about Vesely also, like I said. And then there's the X factor of Ricky Rubio. He had a PER of 16 in the Spanish league without playing much. It's his first playoff appearance since 2011, and I think he's already in good basketball shape, let's say, to make the difference. So I'll say Barça wins and Rubio plays well, and not a lot of people have Ricky Rubio, and that's very interesting, I think.
Well, Rubio's what, 11.2 credits? Is that right? Something like that. Yeah.
Something like that, yeah.
So that is why I did not go, just because I'm not so convinced that the scoring will be there to make it worthwhile at that price point. Instead, I got Vokobo for a little bit less, who I think will give me more PIR. Which is, again, not a diss on Ricky Rubio the player, just Ricky Rubio the fantasy player. I do think he could have a massive impact on this series. Not just think, I expect him to. I feel like every week, every game that goes by, we'll see a better Ricky Rubio and a better Barcelona because of that. But I also have some concerns that there's great defense on both sides. This may end up being a slower tempo game, fewer shots, therefore fewer opportunities, and less PIR on both sides. So I'm staying away from most players only because of that. The fantasy is not played based on how valuable you are per possession, but on what your total is. A weaker player with 40 minutes is sometimes better than an outstanding player in 18 minutes. The only player I have from this game right now is Alec Peters.
Oh, interesting. Well, I have Arantzakis, but only because he's my, let's say, discarded cheap guard. I have him at the end of the bench because, okay, if he plays, he plays well because he plays well every once in a while, especially in the fourth quarter. He can be, and I think Olympiacos kind of need him in close games. So, and I expect this game to be close. So, yeah, we'll see. I think Larentzakis could be a surprise. Not as big as a surprise as putting him in the starting lineup, but it would be a good choice to have him on the bench and to get some extra points. We'll see.
Yeah, so overall, I think that you spoke a little bit about Chus Mateo. I think that will probably be the most selected coach out of all eight coaches. In general, I think that all four home teams are the clear favorites for game one.
Yeah,
but the team that if there's an upset in round one in game one that would surprise me the most would be Madrid, and that's why I'm going with Mateo.
Yeah, true. Well, my team is I'm going with Roger Grimau as coach because I really think Barca will have a strong game at Palau. They've been playing well lately. My starting lineup is I'm putting Mike James because I have five players, but only one guard. But I'm going to play James anyway. Nan as team captain, Hesonja, Mitoglu, and Costello. As starters with Hernan Gomez at sixth man, Juancho Hernan Gomez, that is. And then on the bench, I have Larentzakis, Veseli, Abrines, and La Provitola. That's going to be, my lineup, at least for now. I'm thinking of putting Hesonja as captain. I think he'll... I mean, my thing is that if Moneke doesn't play, Sadakeski goes to the four, then Hesonja has an advantage at the three. That's what I have in my head. So, but then I think Nan is really willing to prove himself in this situation. I think one of them, Nan or Lucas, is going to have a great game, and I'm putting my chances on Nan.
Your credits.
My credits, yes. Not too many because it's 11.8 or something. It's kind of cheap.
Yes, I agree. You know, I guess because he started the season late in his first couple games, it took him a while to get going, so he's still priced a little bit lower, but he's playing like a player who's got much more value. My lineup, so I've got, like I said, I'm going with the 2-1-2 to start with two centers, and then I can make the decision after Tuesday night to drop one from the starting lineup. So I've got Josh Nebo and Matt Costello, and I tentatively have Nebo as captain for round one. For starters, for turn one, we'll see. Sedokerskis at forward. Yabusele as the sixth man. And my other two forwards on the bench are Reyeste from Baskonia and Peters. And my guards are Lorenzo Brown, Kendrick Nunn, and then I've got the Monaco backcourt of Mike James and Elia Kobo on the bench. So I've got a lot of flexibility after turn one, no matter what happens. I could. The only thing I can't do is move Yabusele into the starting lineup if Sedokerskis gets hurt, but so what? Then I could put Peters in the starting lineup. Flexibility at center, flexibility at guard. I can six guys going on turn one, so I'll make my decisions there. And there's a lot of value in all of these players. There's a gamble, right? Lorenzo Brown's had one great game. Before that, he was iffy for a while. So there are gambles here. Maccabi could sell out to stop Kendrick Nunn, knowing how valuable he is. There's lots of things that could go wrong. Baskonia could implode without Moneke against Madrid and get, you know, it could be a blowout. I think we both are aware of that possibility, and I've got three Baskonia players, although Resti is not really going to play for me. So there's risks involved, but that's it. It's playoff basketball. There's always risks involved. It's the eight best teams in the EuroLeague.
Absolutely, and we're gonna have a lot of fun. Remember, you can get in touch with us on X. Frankie is Mr. EuroLeague. I'm Gancetto with a double T. Also, if you are in YouTube watching us, you can leave us some comments. I'm saying because, I mean, you're now watching two very ugly dudes talking basketball. It's horrible. But yeah, you can leave us some comments here. And that's it. Enjoy the playoffs.
They're not here for our faces. They're here for our insight.
All right, they're here for the intel. That's good. That's good. All right, have a great week. See you next week before game three, right?
That's right. And good luck with your fantasy teams this week.
All right, take care.